I've never met him. I've spoken to him, but I've never met him. Yitzchak.
Right.
Yeah. He's from my good friend Mayor May's organization. That's the center of Simon. We're still out in L.A.
So
we have a very close friend in common. But
he will be having
on Shavuot Thomas, you'll take a look at the details. I can't tell you the details, so I don't remember them. But it's posted. Okay then?
Yeah.
Great. So now we're going to take a look at Rashi at the beginning of Masechta Zvachim. How are you today, Zev? Good, very good. So if you have the Mara Makomos page, what I want to do is basically go through these Mara Makomos together with you. Whoops, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And try to develop a certain thesis here. Okay then? So we have the Mishnah, and the Mishnah establishes that in the case of a Machsheva Shalo Lishma, with regard to Shar Kodshim, not Chatos and Pesach, is Kodshim Lo Olu Lebailim L'Shem Chova. Says Rashi, three lines down from the top, on the very, very first daf in Masechta Zvachim, Rashi says, "V'tzorech lahavi acher lechovaso." So, for example, maybe he has a chova. For example, there are many cases where a person is obligated in a karbon. That's number one. Ola nidro. Okay, we're going to focus on the word nidro today. So, nidro means when a person says hare a lot. He says hare a lot. We're going to learn a little bit about the source for that, of Harei Alai, and that's called the Neder. Okay then? And Rashi says, Vishchatenu Lishma, as if to say, get it right this time. If you messed up on the first round, make sure you get it right on the second round. So again, let's just understand the scenario. A man brings a karbon to the Kohen. Okay, the Kohen is standing in the Azara. He does the Shechita and he has a Machshavah Shalo Lishma. As Rashi says, in such a case, since he took it upon himself, B'neder, again, I'm talking about the second case of Rashi, leave out Chovasa right now, that's not our discussion for today. He took upon himself a Neder to bring a Karbon. Now, that Karbon is gone as far as the Ritzi Bailam is concerned. He's got to replace it. So far, so good. That much we understand. But then, we open up a Rashi in Masechta Chulin, which I want to show you and call to your attention. Rashi is at the very end of Masechta Chulin. Chulin is a gigantic Masechta. It's even larger than Kodshim and Tzvachim. And there's a Rashi here, which is about two-thirds or three-quarters of the way down the Daf. Dibra Maskil Demechaser Hakrova. Demichsar Hakrova. So we're on Daf Kuf Lamed Tes Amin Aleph. And we're looking at Rashi. And there are a few words in this Rashi that we have to pay attention to. The Gemara speaks about a sheet of Reish Lakish, just to give you a little background. And we're talking about a person who says, Hare Alai. Hare Alai is a lashon of Neder. And the halacha is that once he says Hare Alai, in this case he took upon himself to bring a certain volume, a certain amount onto the Mizbeach, then he's got to do so. And the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. And this Mishnah is the most fundamental Mishnah perhaps in all of Kodshim, because it's going to tell us the difference between a Neder and a Dova, and we're going to see how this ties in to Reish Lakish and to Rashi. Ezu Neder v'ezu Nedova. Neder ha'omer ha'rei alai ola. Nedova ha'omer ha'rei zu ola. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, Uma ben neder l'nedova. Neder Mesa o nigvo of the chayv bachar yusa. So let's underline those words, chayv bachar yusa. And dava, in contrast, mesa o nigvo of the eno chayv bachar yusa. And the Gemara goes ahead and says the following. Amal Charesh Lakish. When does this principle of the Mishnah apply of Chayiv Lachar Yusa in the case of Neder? That's only Hani Mili Kodshin Mizbeach. That's with regard to Kodshin that are brought on Mizbeach. Demechusar Hakrova, which will translate literally, it's lacking in a Hakrova offering on the Mizbeach. Amal Kodshay Bedek Habayis, the case of Reish Lakish, was where he took upon himself to bring something to the Bedek Habayis, which is called Kedushas Domim, is then the Lav Mechusrei Akrova, there's no Akrova Gabi Mizbeach in the case of Bedek Habayis, is therefore Afal Gavdi Omar Olai, even though he took upon himself to bring a certain volume for the Mizbeach, for the Bedek Habayis, for the Beis HaMikdash, Lo Mechayev. He's not liable to replace it if it's stolen or if it's lost. So there are two things that we could say about the sugya itself. One thing is that the Mishnah tells me that in the case of Harei Olai, which is a neder, if it's lost or stolen, etc., then he has to replace it because he has a chiyuv achrayis. That's number one. Number two, the Gemara says that only applies, at least according to Reish Lakish, in the case of kodshi mizbeach, something that's brought on the mizbeach, as opposed to kodshi bedek habayis. But I will say all that is just background information. What we're interested in is Rashi. Rashi is going to tell us the answer to the following question. Okay, you have a chrayis, you took a neder, you said a real lie. At what point have you fulfilled that neder? And you and I would have said that that neder is fulfilled the moment that the carbon is brought on the mizbeach, meaning you need the haktorah, you need the hakrova. But take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, a man said a neder, a real lie, the achakach hifrish behema, he was mafrish behema, and then he brings it to the Azora. He brings it to the Kohen. And now he's chayv in achrayis. Why? Because mechsar hakrova. Says Rashi, what's mechsar hakrova? Not literally. Rashi's not willing to interpret this Gemara literally. It means that there was no hakrova because the animal got lost before it was brought on the Mizbeach. But rather, Rashi says, the chi omar, a lie, once he said the magic word a lie, hachikomer, this is the nature of his commitment. Olai lahavio lazora. Ask yourself the following question. According to Rashi, in Chiyuv Achrayis of a neder, at what point did the animal get lost? When I say to you he's got to replace it, at what point did he get lost?
Before shechita.
Excellent. Well, again, I wouldn't use the word shechita at this point. Maybe you're right, but let's just stick to the words of Rashi, so we don't change the. I don't want to change the text of Rashi because in Kodshim, as soon as you make any change, you're in trouble.
Or bring it to him as
well. Bring it again. Do you have the Rashi inside? Oh, you don't have it. Here, take a look.
You're in Chulin, right?
Yeah. Here's the Rashi Chulin. Okay. Rashi says that the Omer Alai. What was his commitment of Alai? Hachikomer, this is what it means. Olai lavio lazara. So at what point does Rashi say, after this point, he's now exempt from his achrayis, he fulfilled his neder?
Is anyone following? When he brings it to the azara.
Yeah,
again. Okay, wherever the Azor is, okay, Shar Nikador, because that's the closest maybe he can get to the Azor. But the point is, as soon as he gives the carbon over to the Kohen, and where's the Kohen located? He's in the Azorah. At that moment, he's fulfilled his neder. And Rabosai, let me just give a psychological explanation for this Rashi. And what I'm about to say to you is just dope for Tishkach. I'll say it and then forget it. Yeah, at best, it might be a mnemonic device, you know, to help you remember this, help me remember it. Basically, my achrayis is to do whatever I can do. After that point, I can't do anything wrong. It's out of my hands. How far can I go with this carbon, right? I said a real lie. But also, can you answer that question? How far can I go with this?
You give it to the Shalom.
Till I give it over to the Kohen at the Azorah. From now on, who's in charge of this Kohen? I can't enter the Azorah and do the Avodah. I'm not even a Kohen. Okay, well, again, you guys are somehow, I don't know why you got fixated on Shechita. You're missing the whole point of my discussion today, Rav Olson. My discussion is the following. I have to give it over to the Kohen. Okay, Shechita hin, Shechita her. I don't want to get into that. But do you see where Rashi is radically changing the pshat in the Gemara that we thought intuitively? We thought you took a neder, make sure that the carbon is brought on the Mizbech. Says Rashi, no. Psychologically, there's no way you can tell me that I took a neder to be makir of the carbon. I can't be makir of the carbon. At some point, it's out of my hands. The coin is going to mess up. Take him to a basement. Sue him in a court of law. Don't sue me and tell me, wait a minute, you have a crisis. What do you mean I have a crisis? I did the best I can. My crisis can only extend, says Rashi, to the point that I can be achrai. Okay, you want to know if he's not a shochet, whatever. Again, that's not the point. I'll tell you, he shechted the animal, okay? I don't know if he shechted, he has to stand in the shadbikra, he shechted the animal. That's not relevant to me. What's relevant to me is that the carbon got lost. Oh yeah, that's why we're not talking about a shechita. Because we're talking about a case where the carbon got lost. Says Rashi, it got lost before what? It was brought to the Azara. That's when the animal flew the coop. Rabosai, come back and ask me a kasha. Let's start Zvachim again. Says Rashi, if the Kohen had a machsheves shalo lishma. Says Rashi, the man took a neder. And as a result of shalo lishma, that undermines what? The Ritziah carbon. Is therefore, if you undermine the Ritziah carbon, he has to replace the carbon with another carbon, says Rashi. And why? Because he took a neder. What, in one word, what is Rashi, what concept is Rashi employing here? In one word, it starts with an aleph, ends with a tav. Achrayus. Rashi is, okay, it didn't help. I should have spelled it out and then hoped that you would have gotten it. Just kidding with you guys.
So that would only be with the shvua, not a neder. Is that the kind
of... I don't know about a shvua and a neder yet. Maybe you're way ahead of me, Gedalia. Yeah. But I'm on a very basic elementary level. I'm trying to figure out what the word achrayus means. The Gemara in Masechta Chulin quotes a Mishnah. The Mishnah establishes that the difference between a neder and a nedava is achrayus. In the case of a neder, there is achrayus. If the animal flies the coop, he's got to replace it with a second animal. In the case of nedava, there's no achrayus. As I state. So I'm trying to figure out what achrayus means. Intuitively, and I think Rashi at the beginning of Masechta Zvachim would support my intuition, achrayus means make sure the carbon is nikar malgabi mizbeach. And we'll celebrate. We'll drink our schnapps together as long as the carbon was brought as a carbon. If it wasn't brought on a carbon, you want to sue the Kohen? Sue the Kohen! I don't care. You know, it might be a Hezek Sheni Nikar. I know you have to know Sugis and Baba Kama for this. Take the Kohen to a Beis Din. What does that have to do with me? You have a Chrayus. But Rashi, on the Sugya of Achrayus, the paradigm original Sugya of Achrayus, in Chulin, Daf Kuf, Lamed Tes, Zot Rashi, what's Achrayus? Bring it to the Azara, give it over to the Kohen. Then you were Makayim Yoneder. Oh, before you brought it to the Kohen, the animal flew the coop. Yeah, you know, I'm thinking in Spain, you know, they let the bull go for free. You're free, you know, a moke until a few people get killed. Crazy people that I can't believe the Western culture. That's the same culture where anti-Semitism comes from, by the way, and it's no coincidence. So the animal flew the coop. You didn't bring it to the Azara? Tough noogies. Next time, the second time around, you know, you'll chain the animal down, make sure that it doesn't fly the coop. Get it over to the Azara. Azoy state in Rashi. Now I want to show you that Tosfos says it even more explicitly than Rashi. Rav Gedalia, you got this page? It's, I think, it doesn't matter. I you remember the old days when we used to give out these pages on the, just for old time's sake.
Okay.
Old Lang Syne, what's it called? Yeah.
I apologize for coming late. Did the concept of the Shlichut come up here? Am I pointing the coin as Marshalia?
I don't know. That's an interesting idea. I don't know. I can't get sidetracked with that. You know, the Kohenim Shluchididan, Shluchidachwa. I don't know exactly what that's all about. All I'm saying is that psychologically, I don't want to get into the halachas and shlichus here. What can you demand of me? I took a neder. The person takes a neder. Rashi says, within the context of a neder, tell me what he's capable of fulfilling. After a certain period of time, it's out of his hands. You know, to say that he's going to take upon himself a neder on something that's out of his hands, this kohen, would I dream that the kohen is going to say, Oilul Hashem Shlomim? That's his problem. I did what I had to do. Asiti et shalim. So Rashi says, I brought it to the Azor Gendik, Fartik, the closed case. There's no achrayis anymore. The extent of my achrayis is up until this point. I'm just trying to dramatize the question. Because if that's the question, then Rashi is telling me here something about a machsheva shelo lishma. When did the machsheva shelo lishma happen, Rabosha? After it went into the Azor. In other words, the Israel brought the coin. They brought the kohen until the point that he could bring it, not beyond which he can't bring it. He gave it over to the kohen, and now the kohen had a machsheva shelo lishma. Now says Rashi, he's got to bring another one tachta. What's going on here? I mean, there's no achrayus here. But I want to show you Tosfos, and I know I have it somewhere here on the desk here or somewhere. Oh. This is Tosfos and Chulin on Daf Chaf Hey Amid Beis, correct? Chaf Beis Amid Beis. I'm sorry. What did I say? Chaf Hey. I meant to say Chaf Beis. So let me get this. I can give you if you want it, you know, because I don't think I need it anymore. But it's here if you need it. And it's so hard to find svarim in this yeshiva. Okay. Yeah, it's good, but we should have more than one shas. I mean, you could call this a shas if you like. Okay, but I'm desperate, so what can I do? So where are we? Oh, we should be on Chaf Beis Amid Beis.
Yes.
Okay, so we were looking for Tosfos Dibra Maskel Vehevi, which is Tosfos number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth Tosfos down from the top of Chaf Beis Amid Beis. You have such a Tosfos? Vehevi?
Oh, you're on
Zvachim.
I think
we should be in Chulim. Yeah, we're in Chulim. Yeah, okay. Alright.
Hey. Here I thought I was doing so good.
So, Rabosai, before we study the Tosfos, I want to give you a little background so that you'll appreciate this Tosfos. There's something called in Karbanos Ha'ov, there's something called Torim. And it's something called Bnei Yonah. Maybe he'll translate that for me. I don't know. Bnei Yonah are doves. I don't know. Torim are what?
Torim are doves. And Bnei Yonah are young pigeons.
Right. Pigeons. Okay. Doves and pigeons. Okay. So Bnei Yonah are pigeons. And Torim are doves. Did I get that right? Or I switched around?
No,
switched around. Okay. I got it right. That was lucky. So now, both of these birds, in order to be brought on the Mizbeach, have to be very young. They can't be too old. They can't be too young, they can't be too old. So the Gemara establishes the following.
One is younger than the other.
Yes, that's what I'm about to. You give me two more minutes, and then you'll show me all your bikinis and kachim. Because again, this is all just background material that has nothing to do with me today. I just want to show you where Tosfos is coming from. Okay, fine. So what happens here? So there's something called tzihuv. Okay, tzihuv means a certain yellowing, he says. The feathers around the head start yellowing. Okay, now what happens to Fafn? In the case of Torim, you said were doves? Okay, good, I got that right. I'm still getting it right. I'm sure I'm going to mess it up. But anyway, so in the case of Torim, at what point are they mature enough to be brought on the Mizbeach? That's after they start yellowing. Misha Yetzivu. In the case of Bnei Yona, which we said are pigeons, right? Just the opposite. When they get to that stage of yellowing, then they're too old. So in other words, at this stage in the process of maturation, it's only kosher for one, and for the other it's possible. Now he went ahead, and he took upon himself a neder. And in this neder, he didn't specify which of these two types of birds he's going to bring. And he brought both of these birds. And the Kohen went ahead, and he brought these two birds on the Mizbeach. And they had both reached the stage of what?
Yellowing.
So Mimarashach, he was Yotzi Yisriyev. You following me? Because he only took upon himself one of these two birds. And it doesn't matter to him which of these two birds he brings, because he didn't specify. So the Gemara says the following. Boy Rab Zera had the following suffering. Hare Olai, he said, I accept upon myself, Hare Olai is the lashon of what? Of Neder, Ola. And he's going to bring this Ola min Ha'ofos, meaning from the birds. Either from Torim or Bnei Yona. One of the two. Okay. Vehevi, Betchilas Hatziu, Bazel, Bazel. And he brought these two birds at the point of beginning to yellow of both birds. Mahu. Okay? So the Gemara says the following. Mahu. Is it called a suffek? Or is it not called a suffek at all? Before we get into the Gemara's two Lashonos here, to the suffek in Reb Zera, let's take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos says the following. Because this will be very helpful. Tosfos says, what is the Gemara setting up a suffix? He's saying, the Gemara is saying that maybe if it's only a suffix, then he was Yotze Yidei Chovasa. Why? Because Mimonavshach, he brought one of the two birds and they were kosher. We don't know which one, but it doesn't matter as far as his nether is concerned. Says Tosis, what do you mean? You're going to allow the Kohen to bring these two birds? One of them is possible. Why? Because it already reached that state in which it was too mature, it was too old. So Tosis gives the following answer. Tosis says, Enochinam. He says, Kevan, when the Gemara says that Mimonashachi was Yotze, it's not because they went ahead and they were makir of these two birds, because we can't be makir of these two birds, because one of them is definitely possible, we're not allowed to bring it on the Mizbeach. But says Tosis, the reason why Mimonashachi was Yotze is because of the following. Listen to the language of Tosfos. Kevan shehivion liyad hakohen yotza yidei nidro. The moment that he brings it to the kohen, he fulfills his neder. Me'achad mikolokom echem mihem royali karev. One of these two ofos, he doesn't know which one, and as a result the kohen won't be able to bring these two. Again, Tosfos, off his other answers, he's a little bit inhibited about this answer because maybe it's not enough to bring a Kohen to bring a carbon kosher to the Kohen. You have to bring a carbon kosher that the Kohen is capable of what? Of bringing on the Mizbeach, and in this case he won't be able to be makir of them on the Mizbeach. But Tosfos is, at this point, he's not worried about that. All you have to do as the Bailim, as the Baal HaNeder, is to bring them liyad HaKohen. It's interesting, I don't know, he's going even maybe a little bit further than Rashi, because Rashi and Chulin said that he has to bring it to where?
Azara.
To the Azara. Here he says Liad Kohen. Maybe that's even before he gets to the Azara, I don't know. But in any event, it's certainly Tosfos outspoken when he says Yotzi Yidei Nidro. And why is Yotzi Yidei Nidro? Because no matter what, one of these two birds will fulfill his obligation. Again, the same idea, Rabosai, that Achrayus only goes as far as bringing it Liad Kohen or to the Azara. And yet here the Mishnah says that the Kohen had a machshava shelo lishma, and now the Bailim have to replace the carbon with another one.
So let's read Rashi. Rashi is a little bit ambiguous the way I read Rashi, because If there was a real stira between here and there, Rashi should have just said v'tzarich v'shachto lishmo, meaning he emphasizes that there are two components here in Rashi. Yeah. One is lehavi acher lechovatom. It's almost like he's telling us there are two portions here. One is he's got to bring him where. So it could be that he is trying to be consistent. He's got to bring him to the Azara. But for whatever the reason, that's not enough, and he also has to do the Shechita. But it seems like Rashi's breaking it down into two components. He's not going back on what he said
again
before.
The Shechita is going to be done by the Kohen.
I understand. Yeah. It's still a part of what has to happen.
Correct.
But he said,
because again, Rashi's Shechita is here at the beginning of Zvachim, that until the Karbon is Nikrav, which means it's got to be Nikrav in a way that this reaches a Karbon, which means it has to have a Machsheves Lishma, you haven't fulfilled your nether. So therefore Rashi says it's not enough just to bring another carbon and replace the first one. You gotta make sure that the second one should not fall to the same pit as the first one. Again, there's a whole discussion here about why Rashi felt compelled to add that. We could have figured that out on our own. There's no reason why the second carbon should be any different than the first carbon. So if you look in the back here, again, I don't want to get distracted because we have a lot to accomplish today. He says in the back here, there's something called Biurei HaRashi, that Rashi holds that the halacha stama lishma will not apply on the second round. Meaning that the assumption that if the Kohen didn't have machshava one way or the other, and therefore we assume that's called lishma. Again, it depends on different definitions of what mistama lishma is, if you remember the Brisker Rav and the Keren Ora, but whatever it is. He says, Rashi wants to tell you a big chiddush, that the halacha stama lishma only applies on the first round. Now the Kohen has got, we're going to give the Kohen a second chance, but in this case, he's going to have a machsheves lishma. We're not going to rely on stama. Again, Rabot said that's a whole discussion unto itself, not for us now. So I'm going to ask your indulgence, or whatever the word might be, to give me a little time to develop an idea here, because again, we're seeing here two different shitas here about how you makam your achrayis in the nether. Is it enough that you just bring it, and now it's your headache, I fulfilled my nether, or no, I have to guarantee that the karma was nikrav bekashrus. Okay then, so Rabosai, give me a few minutes and let's take a look at the original drasha. Where does Rashi get this from? And now we have to turn to Daf Dalid Amid Beis. No, here in Zvachim. We're mamish back to Zvachim. Baruch Hashem, we re-landed in Zvachim. Okay, feet back on the ground. Now what do we have here on Daf Dalid Amid Beis?
Is mine missing for that?
Let's see. Yeah, this is yours.
No, you can continue.
Oh, I borrowed it from you before, yeah, and I never gave it back.
It's fine, you can continue with it.
Where is mine? I don't know where mine is. Maybe I left it back in her notes.
I can have comes.
Oh, here's mine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is that say Aleph on it? Yeah, here's mine. I found mine. Ben, if I don't give it back to you today, I'll probably keep it for tomorrow too. Okay. I got all these paws of Svarim here. Okay. Is everybody on Daf Dalet Amud Beis now? Okay, this is going to be the whole source for Rashi. Rashi, where did you get this from? And Rashi's answer would be on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. What do we have over here? We have a brisa. This brisa will appear approximately 10 lines down from the top of Daf Dalet Amud Beis. The first word in the line is Mibayle. Does that help you, Don? Because mm-hmm. I know if Don found it, then we're all on the same page. So we're on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Good. We're on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. And you'll see a brisa. You see that brisa? Mm-hmm. Kiditanya. Now this brisa is darshaning a pasuk. I'll just read to you. Sometimes kedai to read the whole pasuk. Okay, v'nirtza lo lechaper ola vayikra aleph. You can open up a chumash if you have one. Vayikra aleph pasuk dalet. This is mamish at the very beginning, a very famous pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. V'nirtza lo lechaper ola. Okay, now the Gemara seems to be bothered, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, by the olav here. What's this lechaper olav? The extra word olav. He could have said v'nirtzalo lechaper. So Reb Shimon Omer es she'olav chayev bachriyuso ve'es she'eno olav eno chayev bachriyuso. I'll read to you the translation that I have here. Nodar adam neder legavah. Can a person took a neder? V'yomar harei olai lahavi karbon uli'acher shefrisho avad omis hareyu chayev lahavi acher tachtov. Okay, fine. So we're saying that olav. What does the word olav mean now? Achrayis. The word olav is now a code word for achrayis. Olav. Olav means the weight of it is on your shoulders, so to speak. And achrayis means he took what? Let's be very careful. A neder. Not a nedava, but a neder. Masha Enkei, he says, he's summarizing Rashi here. Masha Enkei b'mishnah is nadev nedava. The Omer al behemah misuyemes harezu ola uliachar mikan mesa behemah osha avda eno chayev lahavi acheres tachteo umashmos hakosuvi shaoso karbon shemuto ola. This karbon that he took upon himself, olav meaning what? Bachrayis, meaning a neder. He said a real lie. Chayev behavo, he's got to bring the karbon. Because he said harei olai, and harei olai means that he has to achieve ritzui, correct? And it says v'nirtzalo, and then the Torah says you fulfill your achrayus because of v'nirtzalo, and then it's lechaper olav. It's a kapara to fulfill his achrayus, his responsibility of olav. Aval ad shiyakravenu, if he doesn't bring the karmon, then there's no ritzui, then it's olav. What does olav mean? Responsibility. He's still responsible. So in other words, even though he went ahead and he was machrish a behema in order to fulfill his neder, that's not enough. If the animal dies or it's lost and it hasn't been brought on the mizbeach, then it's not v'nir tzalo. He hasn't achieved v'nir tzalo. And if he hasn't achieved his nir tzalo, then it's still olav. So he still has the responsibility. Okay, so now we have at least a pasuk in Chumash that tells us that a person has to achieve ritzui in order to pattern himself up from achrayis. Now, the question is, how far do we go with this? Do we say he still has achrayis even after he brought the carbon to Liyad HaKohen or Lazar or whatever it might be? Or do we say, no, he's got to achieve ritzui? You know, one could argue that if the source for the chiyuv achrayis in the case of a neder is this pasuk of a nirtzalo, lechaper olav, and olav means achrayus, and he's not finished with his achrayus until it's v'nirtzalo, then one could ostensibly argue, and that would support our Mishnah at the beginning of Zvachim, that until he gets ritzui, it's not olav, meaning he hasn't fulfilled his achrayus. But again, that's not going to help us with Rashi in the Masechta Chulin, with the Tosis that we quoted in the sugya of Bnei Torin and so forth, and they have a different pshat. Now, I want to add one other question to the into the equation. Did you, by any chance, Alan, bring, or maybe I brought, a Gemara Megillah?
I have it.
You have it? Because until I find it, I'm sure it's buried down underneath this whole thing here. Open up, if you don't mind, to Megillah Daf Ches Amid Aleph. And if at the same time I could ask someone to open up the Rambam, Maisa Karbonos, Perek Tes Zayin, Halacha Zayin. So we'll save some time and get this all together. And if we have a Gemara Bava Kama, maybe somebody could open up the Gemara Bava Kama, and we'll see that too. Now, Rabosai, we know that by definition, a neder means achrayis. What is a neder if it's not achrayis? A neder means I'm committed to do something, whatever it might be that I committed myself to do. A nedava, on the other hand, is something that's in the carbon itself, meaning that the carbon has to be brought. That Elsie the cow that I designated, right? I don't have any other of a neder. I never took a neder. All I did was I was makdish this karma. So what I find here is very strange. The Mishnah in Masechta Megillah says the following on Daf Ches Amud Aleph: Ein bein nedarim l'nedavos. Now, you want to talk about the difference, compare and contrast neder to nedava. Don't go backwards, go forwards. Meaning, I know the difference between a neder and a nedava, but I want to know what are the halachic implications thereof. And instead, the Mishnah gives you a very flat answer to this question. Ma bein nedarim l'nedavos is nedarim chayv achor yusam, nedavos eino chayv achor yusam. Now, what was the hava meaning here, that I'd be chayv and achrayis in a nedava? Nedava means I didn't take upon myself any pledge at all. There was no neder zippo. I just designated a karbon as an olah. So I need the Mishnah to tell me that there's no achrayus? If the Mishnah would have told me, okay, what happens if it gets lost, if it gets stolen, or are the difference in what you're allowed to bring benedava, like there are certain types of karbonis you can't bring benedava, they're only brought bechova, and maybe the difference in lakrova, you know, that I'd understand. That would be bein nedarim benedavos. But this Mishnah I find a little bit anticlimactic. That's Lefianiyas Daiti. Again, it's just Argoshes Halev. I don't know what the Mishnah is doing here except reiterating what I already know. I know that the difference between Neder and Dov is Neder is Achrayus and Dov is not Achrayus. So by definition.
Isn't that a Chiddush? Again, it's a little bit confusing for me because having learned Shavuos and doing contrasting Shavuos and Nedarim, there's a big difference between a Shavuot and a Neder, if I recollect correctly. Yeah. One is a chovas gavra, and the other is a chovas chefza. So the shavua is a gavra, and the neder is a chefza. Harei zu, harei alai.
Okay.
So
it's not technically a shavua, but anyway, let's call it a shavua.
In neder, in general, there is no achrayus. In the general Torah kula, neder has no achrayus because it's harei zu.
Well, that's the difference. Again, that's a whole long discussion, but there's a difference between nidre kodesh, or nidre mitzvah, and nedarim in general, meaning nedarim in general is when you take a chefza, you make it into a chefza di surah. But in Kodesh, any pledge that I take upon myself towards Migdash, towards Tzedakah, that's called Nidrei Kodesh. The Ramban spends a lot of time in his Pirush al Torah to explain the difference between Nidrei Kodesh and nedarim in general. Nedarim in general means I'm converting something that's heter into Easter. But when it comes to Kodesh, neder means that I take a pledge. That's what's called
maybe
a
pledge. Maybe that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Maybe the chiddush isn't
maybe,
quite the
maybe. I'm looking for something
side.
A little bit more profound. That's what I'm trying to find.
Is it possible that...
Okay. Let me just ask one or two more questions and then we'll try to put this all together. Let's take a look at a Mishnah in Masechta Menachos. As I always say to you, Kachim is just endless. You know, if you don't know it all, you don't know anything. So I certainly don't know anything. But the Mishnah is on Daf Tzadites Amid Beis. Now, as you know, a Karban Toda requires Lechamim. Right? Again, you accompany it with 40 lechamim. We're not going to the very complicated differences. You know, matzah, chametz, 10, 40, 50, whatever it might be. Now, a karban tamid is generally brought bechova, but you could take upon yourself an adava to bring a karban toda. Okay. The Gemara is going to have all sugi here, which is not relevant to us, as to whether or not a todah b'nedava has the same dinim as a todah b'chova, as far as the lechavim are concerned. But our focus today is on a todah shel chova. And the Mishnah says the following. Hifrish todah, v'avda, v'hifrish acheres tachteha. So Rabosai, if I would stop you right now and ask you the following question, again, I'm trying to get I want to get a knee-jerk response to this question, so don't try to be an Ibr Chacham and outthink me. Just give me the answer that I want to hear from you. Is that okay? Those are the rules of the game. The man lost his Toda. It's a Todas Chova. So what does he do? He's Mafrish Acheres Tachteha. Okay, how would you classify this? The Acheres Tachteha? Is that a Nedava or is that a Neder? You follow what I'm saying? Is it a Chova or a Nedava?
Chova.
It's a Chova, no? Yeah. Counsel in the Mishnah, and this boggles my mind, and says, Eina Teuno Lechem. It's not called a carbon todah, which requires lechem. So you bring the carbon without the lechem. Why? Because it's called chilufim. That's the Gemara's language. The Gemara goes on and quotes Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara says the following, that what happens if he finds the original carbon todah that he was mafresh? So the Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that he has two options. He can decide which one of these two he wants to bring as a carbon todah, and the Gemara establishes that there'll be a tremendous nafkamina. And the nafkamina is whether we call this chalipin. Which one of the two is called chalipin? And the Gemara says it depends. If he decides to bring the first one first, when he finds it, right, he finds it later, then the second one becomes chalipin. If on the other hand he opts to call to decide to bring the second one first, for whatever reason, then the original carbon todah becomes chalipin. And the Gemara says that there's a new status of a carbon todah which is called chalipin. The Gemara later on has other shemos with regard to todah. There's something called tmuras todah, and then there's something called vlad todah. They're very, very different, shall we say, branches or subcategories of a carbon todah. And one of those branches is called chalipe todah. So you have chalipe todah and other branches which are called tmuras todah, and you have something called vlad todah. I mean, for this you have a whole sugya on daf Peyom and Aleph about the different dinim that apply in these two, in these the three different categories, special categories of a carbon todah. What's unique about chalipe todah? So the Mishnah establishes, and that's what we read before, that, let me read it to you again, Eina Teuno Lechem. There's no lechem. Now, I don't get it. Maybe I'm missing the point here. What do you mean chalipe todah? Forget about chalipe todah. Chalipe todah is not some sort of new entity. Chalipe todah means he took a neder. A neder means he's chayav to bring a todah. His todah never went away of all flesh. It's gone. It took its feet and it ran. So he was mafresh as a chova, a second carbon. Why does that second carbon get a new status called chalipe? Why can't you grant it the status of the original carbon? It's a todah shel chova, and therefore, just like any chova, the todah requires what? Yeah. Requires lechem. I'm just perplexed by this. There's a Rambam that maybe would shed a light on this. Do you have a Rambam for me? Oh, great! Thank you so much. And if somebody could open up a Gemara Bava Kama, it would be very helpful. And this is on Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis. And the Rambam says the following. This is Perek Tezayim Mimaisa Korbanos. You'll see it on your page. Halacha Zayin. Omar, he declares, Harei Olai Ola V'hifrish Shar V'nignav. Okay, Rabbo, so what happens if a man says Harei Olai Ola and after he was mafresh the korban got stolen, it got lost, he's chayav to bring another one? Says the Rambam, I have a chiddush for you. Poter atzmo b'seh. An ola can be brought from a shor. An ola can be brought from a seh. There are many other opportunities too. And he says, you know what? Let him replace it with a seh.
What was the first?
Cheaper, right? Excellent.
What was the first one?
Sure.
Oh, so the Rambam says the following. Again, I'm rewriting the Rambam. He says, even though the original animal that got lost that was designated for his obligation, for his pledge, was a shar, right, a gezunta ox, nevertheless, if the ox gets lost, we go back to his original neder, and his original neder was what? Three words. Everybody, Hare. Let's sing it together. Hare, olai, oh. Did he say anything about a shar? He never took an obligation to bring a shor. So the Rambam says, I discovered America. I have a great chiddush for you. What's my great chiddush? And the Rambam seems to be like as if he, you know, he's getting into like hot water. Like, venerally, I have a new chiddush for you. He can bring a set. Of course he can bring a set. Did anyone entertain the thought ever cross anyone's mind? I don't mean anyone. I mean someone who's a Talmud Chacham. That he should have to bring a shor?
The carbon that he's bringing now is not a replacement to the original carbon. The carbon is l'kiyum chavaso. He took a neder, harelai ola. Whatever constitutes a kiyum of harelai ola, that's what he's going to bring. No, zokta nam, I have a chiddush for you. He can bring a set, even though his mafresh originally what? Which animal got lost? A shah. I need the Rambam for that? In other words, the Rambam is telling me a chiddush. We'll see that the Rambam derives this from various sugyas and psukim and whatnot. That salka daita chavino, I would have had a havamino. That in the context of this neder, since he went ahead, he was marfish what? A shar. If the shar gets lost, he's got to bring another shar. What happens then? Because he was marfish a shar, it expands, it impacts on his neder. We're now going to go back to his original neder and say, Hare alai lahavi shar liola? That's not what he said. He said, Hare alai ola. Okay, so he went ahead, he was marfish a shar. Very nice. Shar, we like a shar. But therefore, I have a Havamina here. The Rambam has to tell me a Chiddush that he doesn't have to bring a shard to replace it. Now, the plaque goes thick over here, Rabbi. So when we open up a Gemara in Bava Kama, this is the famous sugya. Oh, okay, I'll use this because it's a little bit larger for me.
Why did you say that he was doing with Gavadas when he brought the shard in the first place, and that's what he meant?
That's not so. There's no such thing in Nidarim as Gili Das. Nidarim means that the Lashon HaFlah is all that counts. We don't care about what he has in mind. A person could have in mind anything in the world, but that's not Mechayavim. And the Mechayav in Nidarim is the Neder itself. He's Chayav to bring an Ola. Whatever constitutes an Ola, that's fine. The Gemara in Bava Kama introduces a whole new element here into the equation of neder versus nedava, and that's called davar agorim lemamon, famous shita Reb Shimon kimamon davar. So what's the Gemara about? The man took a neder that he would bring a karbon, and since the neder, what does a neder automatically entail? Achrayus, that's our magic word. The Gemara calls it Kodshim Shechayv Bachriyusam. And then someone came along and stole the carbon. What happens as a result of stealing the carbon? How's that going to impact on the Bala carbon? Since it was a neder and he's Chayv and Achrayus, tough luck, he's going to have to replace it with another carbon. So the Gemara says that if we locate the Ganav, he's going to pay kefel. Why is he going to pay kefel? Because davar agorim lemamon kimamon davar. So I want to share with you a chiddush of Reb Chaim Ozer. Have you ever heard of Reb Chaim Ozer? He was the top banana back in Litta at the time of the Chofetz Chaim. In fact, P.S. I'm going to tell you a secret if you don't know it, but don't publicize it. The only reason the Chofetz Chaim wrote the Mishnah Brura is because of Reb Chaim Ozer. Because Reb Chaim Moser decided that we need a Mishnah Berurah. He didn't call it the Mishnah Berurah, but it had to be written. And he turns to the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim says, don't bother me. I have other things on my mind. I'm not going to write the Mishnah Berurah. And Reb Chaim Moser told him, you are the only one who could write the Mishnah Berurah. And he was mechayim to write the Mishnah Berurah. Anyway, Reb Chaim Moser was like the final word in Litta. My great-grandfather, that's my father's mother's father, had letters back and forth to Reb Chaim Moser. I wish I could get a hold of those letters, but they're lost. But everybody turned to Reb Chaim Ozer. All the questions, the main questions, the issues, agunos, you name it. Stalker, community issues, Reb Chaim Ozer. So Reb Chaim Ozer has a chiddush here that I wanted to share with you. He says the following. Why is the God of Chayev Kefel, and why are we holding him culpable, liable, and guilty for stealing something that belongs to the Bala Karbon in this case, to the, we'll call him Ruvain, the Nignav, the Nigzal? He says that you could learn it two ways. And he rejects one way. He says you could say that causing someone a loss of money is enough to slap down the chiyuv of a gan. I'm looking for a word and I'm not finding. But anyway, to hold him liable as a ganov, it's because Yenim is going to suffer a loss. That's his hefseid mom. Says Reb Chaim Ozer, no. There's another way of learning it. The other way of learning is Reb Shimon's way of learning it. Reb Shimon is not saying that the reason why the ganav has to pay is because the owner of this animal is going to have to dig into his pocket and replace the carbon with a second carbon. It's going to cost him big bucks. No, that's not. It's not the hefseid mom. It's kimam and dummy means that he, the bala carbon, is the owner of this carbon. Which is a gevaldik chiddush. I'll tell you why. Because pashtus, without Reb Chaim Ozer, we would have said that this carbon belongs to Hegdesh. You don't have ownership rights on this carbon. Again, I'm not going to go into all the different proofs that Reb Chaim comes to, that Reb Chaim Ozer comes to, in order to adduce this to prove that there is such thing as ownership, private ownership over kodshim. I mean, again, that's a big sugya, which I'm not prepared to discuss with you because I don't know that sugya. Pashtus, the Gemara seems to assume in many places that kodshim belongs to the mizbeach. It's not your private ownership. Reb Chaim Ozer doesn't understand it that way, at least according to Reb Shimon, in the case of a neder. Case of Nadova, maybe he would agree that you can't claim ownership over Nadova. But in a case when it's a Dovah Gorim Lamamon, Rav Shimon's Chiddush is that it's Kemamon Dami. It means it generates a quasi bialus, so to speak. That's why, if let's say you had a Dovah Gorim Lamamon in Chametz, then you would, according to Rav Shimon, you'd be Chayfa Bayura Bayimotze because of that limited but nevertheless substantial ownership that you have in a Dovah Gorim Lamamon. Now, what I want to point out to you is there's a famous sugya called Garmi, which we all know about. That's on Daf Tzadi Ches, I believe. Let's see if I'm right. And this is called Sorev Shtarosov Shel Chaveru. Do you remember that? So let's say, for example, Shimon borrows $1,000 from Reuven. What does Reuven get from Shimon? A shtar. Okay, that shtar chov is going to make it possible for Reuven to collect his debt. Now Levi comes along and he burns the shtar chov. So the Gemara says that in the case of a shtar chov, we're going to have to enter into two different sugyas and try to analyze this. One sugya is called Grama bin Ezekin. In other words, when Levi destroys the shtar in the hands of Reuven, he's indirectly causing Reuven a loss of money. And that might be called Garmi. Again, that's not for us now, but it might be enough to pass beyond what we call Groma, and if that's why Reuven could sue Levi for damages. Or, says the Gemara, it's Dovra Gorim Lamon. It's Reb Shimon. And the reason why I can demand payment if you destroy my shtar is because I own that shtar. Does anybody have a question on that? I have a question on it. What's the shtar worth? It's worth a pruta? So I have a right to demand $1,000 for the loan because Dovra Garm Lamaman Kim Maman Dami? This doesn't fit in well with Reb Chaim Ozer. Reb Chaim Ozer says that the reason why the Ganav in the case of Kodshim Shechayev Lachrus is Chayev in Kefel is because the animal is worth 100. So now pay 200. And the animal is owned by the Bala Karban because he's Chai Bachrayas. It has nothing to do with the fact that I suffer a financial loss. Meaning, according to Reb Chaim Ozer, in the case of Shtar Chov, this whole concept of Dovra Gorm Lamom Kimom shouldn't even get off the ground. Because you can only talk about Dovra Gorm Lamom in the more broad sense of, well, I caused you a financial loss. Meaning that now you have no recourse, Reuven, or the owner of the Shtar, to collect the money, the Chov, from Shimon. Shimon will go tell you, fly a kite. You don't have a shtar against me, I'm not going to pay you. But that's again a concept called grama, that I caused you a financial loss. I have said, mama. If we're going to take that and apply it to kachim, okay, how much did I cause you of a financial loss? The carbon is worth 100 on the market. So pay him 100. Says Reb Chaim Ozer, no, he's going to pay him 200. Why is he going to pay him kefel? Because he owns the carbon. He owns the guf ha-behema. If it's only a matter of hefsed mamon, that's not a chiyuv kefel. I don't pay kefel for causing you a loss. But moreover, if I'm going to pay you, if I'm going to pay you even keren, for example, because I caused you a loss, then you're entering into the blot, I call it, you know, the deep mud of Grobim and Ezekiel. I don't know if it's Grobim and Ezekiel or not.
I thought that was the chiddush of the shtar is real mammon. It's not the value of the shtar, but it's what it can be worth. We look at it if it's worth now. I could sell that shtar for.
But again, all of the shas we say that the shtar is not called gufo mammon.
That's the chiddush.
I might pay you because I can collect this chov. Okay, but that's something different. That doesn't make the shtar into something. You know what I mean? The shtar is not something that you could call a chefetz shel mammon. You know, what Reb Chaim Ozer wants to achieve here is a chefetz shel mammon. You can't call the shtar a chefetz shel mammon. At best, you could say that Levi has to pay Shimon, has to pay Reuven for burning his shtar because he caused Reuven the impossibility, so to speak, of collecting his chol. I don't know why we should apply that to the case of shtar. Okay. So Reb Ozer, before we go on, I would like to summarize some of the points we made here, okay? So we have about 15 minutes, let's see what we can do. First of all, we find a very strange phenomenon here. The Gemara Daf Dalet Amud Beis derives from a pasuk, V'nirtza lo l'chaper olav, that in a case of a neder, if there was no ritzui karbon, then he's going to have to replace the karbon. Rashi, at the beginning of Masechta Zvachim, says that if the kohen had a machshava shelo l'shma, then the Yisrael will have to replace that karbon. On the other hand, Rashi says, and Tosfos in a different place, both in Masechta Chulin, that the Chiyuv Achrayus extends until the point that I give the carbon over to the Kohen. And after that, finito. My Achrayus terminates, and I don't have to replace the carbon. That seems to be an open and shut contradiction to what Rashi says here at the beginning of Masechta Zvachim. Okay. What I'd like you to do now, does everybody have access to this sefer called Nefesh Tova?
Yep.
And I'm looking at Chelek Aleph. Chelek Aleph. And we're looking at Osei. Again, I have it on page Vav. You'll tell me what page it's on in your edition.
Vav.
Page Vav? So we're all on the same page? Oshet. Okay. Now we're focused on a paragraph which I think will be a third paragraph called Vahochiach. Do you have such a paragraph?
Yes.
He has access to a Chiddush of the Brisker Rav. I don't know where he got it from, but let's just see his Masorah, his transmission of Torah. Ika trei dinim b'chiyuv lahavi acher al neder. If a person took a neder, hare alive, and the karma got lost, there are two different dimensions of his obligation to replace the lost karma. Trei dinim, he calls it. And when you talk about the Brisker Rav, it doesn't surprise us when he says trei dinim. In Yiddish it would be tzvei dinim, in Aramaic trei dinim, and in Hebrew shnei dinim, in English it would be two dinim. It's all the same, and it all always comes back to Brisk. He says, why do you have to bring a carbon to replace it? What would be your answer? If you have the Brisker Rav, I would only come up with one answer to this question. One din, namely what? A neder. Neder is a chayis. You know, your carbon went down the tube, so replace it and fulfill your neder. He says the following: Milvad, in addition to the obligation, shetzarach l'kayim nidro, which again, according to Rashi, we saw the key of neder would be just bring the carbon to the azara, or Tosfos says the Yada Kohen, or ika hilchasa, there's another halacha, b'neder, the ika achrayus al hakarbon. Now, here's where Berzon comes in. And again, when anything I say to you, just forget it, because it's just Berzon. But I, this is what I'd like to say. That when he says, achrayas ala karbon, he means that the korban itself has to be brought on the mizbeach. In other words, there's one halach of neder that means I took upon myself an obligation, a pledge, and I have to see that I fulfill that pledge. But there's another din, and the other din is that the mizbeach needs that korban. Why does the mizbeach, so to speak, need that korban? Because I took a neder. The very moment that I take a neder, what I'm declaring is a twofold commitment. Number one, I'm committing myself to fulfill my neder. And number two, I'm committing myself, so to speak, again, don't take me literally, but figuratively, to the vis-a-vis the mizbeach, that the mizbeach will get my korban. That's what I think he means. That ika chiyuv achrayis ala korban. Again, the korban doesn't necessarily mean this physical object, although I'm going to try to make a case for that in Reb Shimon of Dovar Gorim Lemamon, Kimamon Dami. But even in a conceptual, abstract way, I took upon myself a korban. That korban has to be brought. And that's a new halacha. And this halacha is derived from the pasuk of V'nirtza lo l'chaper olav. Meaning, if not for that pasuk, I would have said, okay, the korban is lost, replace it. And that's your chiyuv vis-a-vis the neder. But now we're saying something more than that. The Torah is saying that your olav, your achrayis, is vis-a-vis the korban itself. And until that korban is brought, you have not fulfilled your achrayus. I wouldn't call it neder. I would call it the achrayus that emanates or is a secondary impact that results from the neder. So the neder itself tells me what I'm obligated to do vis-a-vis my neder. And now the neder engenders an achrayus. That achrayus means the korban has to be brought. And that's what we're going to derive from the pasuk of V'nirtza Olav. And he wants to suggest an answer to our question about the Mishnah and Megillah. What is the Mishnah telling me here when it says, Ein bein nidarim l'nidamos el shezeh chayev achrayis v'zeh eino chayev achrayis? We understand very well that a neder is a neder. So you have to repeat what we know. The answer is no. The Mishnah wants to tell you there's another halacha. In addition to the halacha of Hilchus Nedarim, there's halacha of Achrayus. And Achrayus goes way beyond Hilchus Nedarim. And therefore, the difference between a neder and a nedava is that whereas a nedava doesn't generate this new concept called Achrayus, a neder does generate a new Achrayus. Is Rabosai. If this be the case, then maybe, just maybe, there's no stira between the Rashis. Rashi in Chulin, when he says that all he has to do is bring the carbon to the Azor, Rashi's talking about the nether. Rashi wants to understand what is the extent of the nether and at what point does he fulfill his nether. Eyochinami, Rashi is right. He'll fulfill the nether at the moment that he brings the carbon to the Azor. But there's a new halacha now that's derived from L'chaper Olam. And that's halacha of Achrayus. That's above and beyond the nether. And that Achrayus can only be fulfilled when the carbon is brought as a korban that's kosher al gabi mizbeach, goes to the kohen. The kohen did something very, illegitimate. He had a machshav of shelo lishma, but as a result of the shelo lishma, he unwinds and cancels the ritzui. If he cancels the ritzui, then it's no veneer to olav. The achrayus is veneer to olav, and therefore he's going to have to replace the korban because of this new halacha of veneer to olav. And if that be the case, Rabosai, then talk about the following. A man is obligated to bring a korban todah, right? Four people are obligated to bring a korban todah. He's one of them. He was mafresh the korban todah, and the todah got lost. He took now a second todah. What does that todah have? The replacement todah, if we can call it that, that the first one didn't have. It's an achrayis, correct. It has a chalushem achrayis. The first one, okay, he's chayev, and he brings the todah. Now the todah gets lost. The second one is called chalipe todah. Why does it get this new status of chalipe todah? The answer is because this todah is not being brought because of his neder, or at least not only because of his neder. This one is being brought for a whole new reason. An additional reason, which is called what? Achrayus. And that achrayus is something that is is generated by the neder, but it changes the nature of the carbon. He's bringing the carbon for a different purpose. He's bringing a carbon not just because he took a neder, that's true for the first carbon, but the second tod he's bringing as an achrayis. An achrayis means a replacement carbon. And a replacement carbon is called chalipe todah in this case. And the Gemara establishes that by virtue of this new categorization called chalipe todah, therefore, the carbon has no accompaniment of what? Of lachme todah. If this be the case, Rabbosai, if there's a new concept through achrayis of replacement, and that's what achrayis generates, then what happens if after he says arei oli, he was mafrish ashar? The shar got lost. What havamina can I now approach in order for him, the noder, to fulfill his achrayis? Let him bring what? A replacement. And what's that replacement going to be? A shar. Kamashmal the rabbi has a gevaldige chiddush that he can bring a set. That even though there's achrayis, but the achrayis goes only as far as the original neder. And even though he was mafrish ashar, you might think that now the achrayis takes on new dimensions to replace the carbon as it were. No. Kamashmal the Rambam says the achrayis is limited and restricted by the nature of the neder. The neder that generated the achrayis was a neder on ola, not on ashar. And now we get to Reb Chaim Ozer. Reb Chaim Ozer wants to suggest that in Rav Shimon, Dovra Gorim L'Momen K'Momen Domi, when you have a chrayus because you took a neder, you are now considered the bialim of that carbon. Well, I understand if somebody destroys that behemoth's kodshim for you, you're going to take a major financial loss. You're going to have to replace it by spending and writing a check for 500. Okay, let's learn the sugyas of Groma bin Ezekiel. Maybe it is chayev, maybe it's not chayev. No, says Reb Chaim Ozer, Groma bin Ezekiel is not going to generate a chiyuv kefal. The chiyuv kefal is a result of the ownership that you have on the guf habehemah. Why? Because once you took a neder, you now have not only hilchos nedarim, but in addition to that, in kodshim, you have a new halacha v'nirtza lo l'chaper olav, which means you have an achrayis. If you have an achrayis, this karbon itself has to be brought on the mizbeach. That itself gives you violence. You have achrayis on the karbon itself, and therefore he asks the question here. If you take a look on the left side. He says, Yesh la'ayin l'fi zeh, for anyone who's, again, I don't know if you have the same page, but if you have a paragraph in brackets called Benira, so if you skip down about 7 lines, you'll hopefully see something that says, V'yesh la'ayin. And he says, V'yesh la'ayin l'fi zeh, b'gmar b'avakama, d'v'inu l'meimit d'shtar av'igorem l'maman, and according to Reb Shimon, if he burns your shtar, he has to replace the shtar and pay its value because of dover agorem l'maman. Hosam, Ein chiyuv mamon tmuras hashtar, elo hu gorem shelo yuchal l'shalim mamono, that he won't be able to collect his mamon. So why does Gemara say that you chay for that? That should be pure grama. He says v'dochek lomar dezeu tiritz haGemara sham deshtar eino ikro mamon. Oh yesh la'ayin mimad deisa sham degzeil chashiv gorem l'mamon eitz al gazlon. And he says in the next paragraph, may ata. So again, at this point, I would have said that the question here is not a question of gorem l'mamon because I'm causing you a hefzed mamon, but rather gorem l'mamon because you own the animal, you own the heft itself because of the achrayus of the neder, and that's going to generate kefel. The Gemara over there is not talking about kefel. He says that if this be the case, then perhaps we can understand Tosus and Chulin. Because again, this is a paragraph that starts Ella. You remember that Tosus and Chulin presented the thesis that when he brings these two birds to the Kohen, again, he doesn't know which bird is kosher in his bath, but Mimon Shach, one of the two birds is kosher. And Tosus says that Kevon Shi Gi El Yad HaKohen Kvar Yotzi Yedei Nidro Afal Gavdi Einu Roy La Krova. He says, Nehi what about the second halacha? He Here we have a problem. If we were only focused on Hilchus Nidorim, then Tosus is right. He brought Liat a coin, and one of these two birds is Mibonashah Koshel Mizbeah. But if we're talking about a din of Achrayas that's generated by the Neder, that means that until the carbon is brought on the Mizbeah, you have not fulfilled your Neder because of the Achrayas of the Neder. Here, the coin has no possibility of being Makar of the carbon. So now he gives an answer which I can't understand. If anyone could explain this to me, he says, "V'yesh lomar to be'emes eino yotzi dechiv achrayis at sheyigdalu habnei yono v'yakrivam." In other words, basically, the Kohen is going to give these birds back to the Israel, and he's going to tell me, "Come back in a half a year when the bnei yono reach their maturity."
They
can't be the Torah, whatever it is, I don't remember. Okay, so that's what it means that he was Yotzi his neder. Okay, Rabbi Osei, so we'll stop here. I hope you enjoyed the shiur. Yeah, very interesting concept.
Very surprising that Rashi was interested.